Good morning.
Good morning.
Stephen, are you here somewhere? Yeah. Oh, he's here. Sorry, not yet. Okay, so please sit down.
He's ready.
You know, I'm absent-minded, right? So I was, he's right behind me. I'm looking for him out here. So today we are starting a sermon series, and the title of that sermon series, Encounter with Jesus. Encounter with Jesus. There are four characters we find in the gospel, four gospels, and we are going to talk about them. And as we talk about them, we are going to consider four important aspects of those encounters. Number one, their character. The second one, we will talk about the context in which they have this conversation with Jesus. The third one, we will talk about content. What is the conversation? And the fourth one is conclusion. What happened after those conversations? And so if you're taking a note, this is a great time to take a note. And of course, after having this, brief sermons, you will have many more questions. Amen? Because we cannot justify everything in 20 or 30 minutes, or maybe 40 minutes sometimes. Who knows? And that's why we will have adult Sunday school. So please join for some more conversation on the similar topic or on the same topic with him and other people. So today we are going to talk about Nicodemus. Nicodemus. And he was one of the Pharisees. And Stephen is going to come and read scripture for us so that we will know more about him. And I think, Stephen, the scripture is going to be on the screen. So.
So this is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born again." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Thank you for suffering through me with that.
First is character. I think we have a slide for it. So there are three things we know about Nicodemus. First of all, he was a Pharisee. Now, what is Pharisee, you might ask? A member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observation of the traditional and written law. So during Jesus' time, there were 6,000 Pharisees. And these Pharisees, they have committed themselves to follow all the rules and regulations found in the Old Testament. Now, you know there are 10 commandments, right? But then if you read the book of Numbers and book of Leviticus, you will see there are more detailed information about the same laws. But then that's not where it stopped. People continually writing commentaries on those laws. And sometimes when they wrote for so long, they made it so difficult for people to follow those laws. For example, you know, if you read New Testament and Gospel, that you will see the phrase called seventh or Sabbath day journey. Now, what is it? It is the journey which was allowed by scribes, those who interpreted the law, and eventually came to conclusion that on Sabbath day, you can walk this many kilometers. And so if you walk more than that, you're actually breaking the law. But if you're keeping under that, you're fine. And some people still wanted to walk a little bit more, right? Maybe they had to go a little bit further. Well, how can they extend their journey? Well, there was another clause into that, that if you actually find a place to eat, or if you eat in between this, you know, time, then actually you make that your home, right? That's where we eat. We eat at home. And so that whole long 7 miles becomes your home. And since you already ate your home, now you have actually 7 extra miles given to you for some more to walk. Now you can, and I can imagine that how complicated it can become for people to follow that rules and regulations. Most people were actually unaware about this constant update happening into the new, you know, commentaries taking place all the time. But these Pharisees, they decided that they will follow the law at the highest level. In fact, they wanted to communicate so much that they are following the law that often the following of their laws would actually express in the way they live their life. For example, they wanted to show themselves they are praying all the time. And one of the ways to pray is to close your eyes and pray, right? And they, while they are walking, actually they will be praying, and so their eyes are closed. So what happens if your eyes are closed and you walk? You walk on the pole, right? And what happens as you walk and hit somebody, or something hits you? You start bleeding. And so they were known as the bleeding Pharisees, because by walking they would bleed themselves, and by that way people are like, wow, this guy is a real prayerful guy. How do you know? Well, look at his bleeding everywhere. And so Nicodemus was one of these individuals who have committed himself in front of 3 people that I am going to follow all the laws, all the rules, and all the regulation, which is found not only in the New Testament, but after that, all the commentaries written after that, I'm going to find. And so they have to constantly study and find out what is new in the following the law. And yeah, so he was Pharisees. The second one, he was the ruler of Jewish people. In other words, there were 70 leaders during Jesus' time, and they were known as Sanhedrins. So again, if you study the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of conversation taking place among religious leaders, 70 leaders, and Nicodemus was one of them. So not only he was a righteous man or religious person, but he was also a leader. He had a power, and he was a rich man. In John chapter 19, verse 39, which is almost end when Jesus, after his death, when they were trying to bring Jesus' body down, and at that time, Nicodemus, he's the one, he accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and olives and 70 pounds. So that's a lot of myrrh. 75 pounds, right? And so again, he was a very rich person. So we have this person with 3 distinguished characters. He was a religious person. We also know that he had a power, and he was also a very rich person. So that is the character we know about Nicodemus. The context in which he came at night to keep his privacy. The scripture says he came to meet Jesus at night. And I think the reason he came at night, because if you remember the scripture, there is a constant battle between religious leaders and Jesus. And often these religious leaders did not really want themselves so closely connected with Jesus. Yes, they wanted to hang out with Jesus in order to find some fault from Jesus, but they never wanted to come out as somebody who is a well-wisher of Jesus, somebody who is a friend of Jesus. Because as soon as they would come out, then they would actually create enemies within their own ranks. So I think one of the reasons he came at night, because he just wanted to keep himself. He just wanted to make sure that nobody's taking his picture and putting on the Facebook so that everybody would see it. He also came at night maybe to spend some quality time with Jesus. Because we know the fact that throughout the day, so many people were wanting to connect with Jesus. So many people had requests to Jesus. So many people wanted that Jesus would come to their home and heal them. And I'm sure that Jesus would give his time to those individuals. And I'm sure that Nicodemus have thought about it, and he realized, if I go to meet Jesus at night, I might have a quality time with Jesus. And I think the third thing, he came for more clarity. He says, Jesus, you know, about you, we talk all the time in our religious circle, and we realize that the work you do cannot be done by anybody else. The sermon you preach is so amazing, and we know that you are from God. There is no question about it. We are so impressed by you, and we want to find out more about you. So that was the context in which he came. The content, the conversation they had. Two phrases comes here very clearly: born again and rebirth. Born again and rebirth. As Edith was saying, that in the Baptist circle, they talk about born again all the time. And often this phrase has been misunderstood by many people, and therefore within United Methodist Church, we don't talk too much about it. But at the same time, dear people of God, this is the phrase given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We got to understand what it means. It means simply, as Jesus actually explains in the scripture, that we are born physically, and when we are born physically, we grow physically, and people can see us physically. And same way, it is imperative for us to be born spiritually, and not only to be born spiritually, but to grow spiritually. And not only to grow spiritually, but to let people see our spiritual growth. Amen? So that they can distinguish that Rajiv, I can see him, but there is something deep within him. His spirit is deep. His understanding of God is deep. The way he communicates, the way he comes across is a very, very spiritual being. And I am attracted to that being. It is almost like falling in love with somebody. You know, there is a way that we can live with somebody for our whole life and might have not fallen in love with that person. And again, in India, we have arranged marriages. In other words, when you fall in love with somebody, there is that deep connection. There is this constant longing within you to be with that person. In other words, sometimes you just don't even talk. Sometimes you don't even have a conversation. You go for a hike and it takes 6 hours and you are with the person with whom you're in love, and time just takes on. And you are just enjoying time, and like after 6 hours, you come back and ask, like, say, what did you talk? Like, we didn't talk. Like, how did you spend 6 hours? Like, I just don't know. We were just having fun. Like, what kind of fun? You were not talking, you were walking. That doesn't sound so much fun. I was with somebody whom I am in love with. And same is, dear people of God, spiritual birth, being born again, is to deeply fall in love with Jesus. Amen? Is that like when you're with Jesus, when you're with your God, you just don't know how time flies. You just cannot stop being without this Jesus. You want to hang out with this Jesus every day and every night and every moment you get for free. In the morning, you want to open up your scripture and you just want to read it. While you're driving, you want to have this conversation in prayer with this Jesus. And every time when you get an opportunity, you want to talk about this Jesus to somebody else, because this Jesus has changed your life. And that is what it really means to be born again in spirit, to be in deeply love with Jesus. And Nicodemus asked, like, wow, that sounds hard. How that takes place? And of course, Jesus saying that through the human lenses, through human understanding, it seems impossible, but everything is possible with God. And so, dear people of God, this morning, I want to encourage you to fall in love with Jesus. And I don't know how that happens, because only God can make that happen. All I encourage you to be is to open for God to intervene in your life. Amen? Tell to God that, God, I am open. Yes, I never had this amazing experience which Pastor is talking about, but that doesn't mean that I'm not open for it. I am open for it. Or you said, like, I had this experience. I fell in love with somebody when I was like teenage, and I'm not teenage anymore, and I've forgotten how it all feels. Can I have that experience one more time, right? And yes, with man, it's not possible. With human, it's not possible. With God, it's possible. And so there are three things we notice here. When Nicodemus came, he wanted to talk about Jesus, but Jesus wanted to talk about Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes and asks that, Jesus, we heard that you're such an amazing teacher. We know you do amazing miracles, like you're the best guy I ever known. And Jesus is like, yeah, whatever. What about you? You need to be born again. In other words, dear people of God, there is a tendency within us, sometimes we want to talk about religion, but Jesus is interested in our relationship. How many of us have heard this phrase that I don't go to church because I don't like organized religion? We've all heard that, and we have said that sometimes, right, for ourselves. Because religion has hurt us. Religion hasn't been kind to us in some ways. We're hoping something from the United Methodist Church. It just didn't happen. And our hearts are broken. That religion doesn't go well many times, dear people of God. And so as a Christian, as a disciples of Christ, may I encourage that don't go after a religion or don't even go after a denomination, but go after Jesus. Amen. Jesus never fails. Denomination does fail. Religion does fail us. There are books written how to recover from the church. How to recover from clergy abuse. Because yes, we know the stories, we know the news that sometimes religion doesn't have all the answers, and their answers are sometimes really problematic answers. And so may I encourage us, dear people of God, to long for a relationship with Jesus instead of a religion. Because religion will fail you, but the relationship with Jesus will not fail you, I promise that. You will be heartbroken of the rules and regulation and the misinterpretation within the religion. But when you would be with your Jesus, you will realize that you can walk with Jesus. You can hang out with Jesus for hours and hours, and you will realize that your lives are constantly going to be enriched. Nicodemus, he's saying that, you know, I have been Pharisees. I have followed all the rules in my life. I have money. I have power. But guess what? Tonight I could not contain myself. Tonight I could not stop myself from coming and talking with you because I realized there is something missing in my life. My rules, my religion, my denomination didn't fulfill that. But Jesus, you seem to have an answer. And what is your answer? And Jesus said, you need to be born again. You need to fall in love with God. You need to realize there is no other way for you to be in your well-being than to be in with God. All the other thing is going to fail you. How many of us know individuals and stories, famous people? They seem to have all that. I was just thinking about Michael Jackson. Seems to have everything in this world. Known as the King of Pop, died early because of overdose. Elvis Presley, Kurt Cobain, Marilyn Monroe, Anna Nicole Smith. I can go on and on. And even though I don't know most of even their names, you know, we know the stories of people seems to have all this money, power, fame, religion, and still live a miserable life. And so, dear people of God, this morning, I don't know where you are in your walk with your God, but maybe we might be like Nicodemus, like, hey, religion I got. I've been very faithful coming to church. Oh, I have plenty of money. Oh, I have plenty of power. Everywhere I go in my workplace, people salute me, people stand. to honor me. And still it is possible that we might be longing for Jesus. And so I invite you to talk with Jesus. Jesus talked about spirit, but he misunderstood as a physical. See, there was a dichotomy going on. There was a misunderstanding happening. Jesus is talking about being spiritually born, and he's trying to understand it physically. And the only way, dear people of God, understand the spiritual things of God is through the Spirit. The conclusion, what happened at the end? As far as we know, that he did not become an outspoken follower of Christ. He continued to be with other group of people. Not only that, but he used all the opportunities he could got to support Jesus. You see, I grew up in an area, in a group of people that every time when we talk about somebody, we have to figure it out, is that person is going to hell or heaven? And so in order to find out that, we would actually have some deep conversation, and eventually we would put a stamp. I would say like, okay, Gandhi, maybe not so much in heaven because the last thing he said was Ram, which is the name of a Hindu god. I was in that group, but now I have grown into knowing the fact that the journey of people is with their God. Amen? Nicodemus doesn't seem to be an outspoken disciple of Christ. But what I know about him is very limited. I'm sure he must have lived much longer after even Jesus' death. In fact, in many traditions, he is actually considered as Saint Nicholas. And so, what I realized, dear people of God, all of us, that our life is our journey with God. And let us not try to figure it out who is where, according to our definition. Let us give room for people to grow in their spiritual walk. Amen? I have my calling and I want to grow spiritually. And when God's call comes to me, I will say yes or no. And then that journey will start from there on. Nicodemus' journey started when he started to have conversation with Jesus. His journey continued till the time when actually he said he's going to go and do everything possible to bury Jesus in a proper way. And I'm sure that thereon he must have had his conversion experience. Then on he must have had experience with God. And even throughout this journey, there is this constant relationship going on between Nicodemus and Jesus. And so number one, let us not be responsible for each other's spiritual journey. However, let us support and encourage one another. Amen? It is almost like, I don't know what is going on with you, but seems like you're falling this morning. I am here to hold your hand so that we can walk with you. I don't know what's going on with you, but seems like you are going through really sad and difficult journey these days. I want to walk with you because God has asked me to walk and journey with you. And yes, if you want some clarification, I am here for you. Yes, if you need more some guidance, I am for you. The next question, dear people of God, is here. Are we here for a religion or a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Are we here for a religion? Are we just doing our religious obligation this morning to come to church, so that for the next week we feel much better about ourselves? Or are we here with a longing that, God, I cannot go on like this forever. I need your intervention in my life. I need a life transformation. I need to be born again. I need to be taken birth so that I can enjoy all the blessings you have for me. Unless I get that experience, there is nothing I can do. You know, I'll finish with the story of John Wesley, the founder of United Methodist Church. He was a missionary to America from England. He came to America and started his missionary work. And within 2 years, he had such a failure of experience that he could not stay any longer. He said, "This isn't working. I was in England, I was having a great life, I was known as a scholar, people liked me, and here I come as a missionary, and nothing seems to be happening." And so he went back to England very brokenhearted. After 2 years, when he went back to England, he realized that his brother Charles Wesley and other people are having such a vibrant, wonderful experience with God. They cannot stop talking about Jesus. And he realized, what's going on here? I went as a missionary to convert people, but my life is so dry and I have nothing going on for me. Whereas this other people, my younger brother and all of his friends, seems to be having great experience. And so one day he asked them, like, tell me what's going on? What happened in your life? You seem to be really rejoicing your life. You seem to be really having a great time. You seem to know Jesus more than me. What's going on? And they said, like, we got born again. Like, what is it? Like, we don't know, but it just happened to us. And so one day, John Wesley, brokenhearted, goes to a meeting. And in that meeting, they are reading commentary on the book of Romans. And the book of Romans talked about a similar thing, that you need to be born again. And he says in his diary, he's right that as they were reading this, my heart was strangely warm. This is the John Wesley's phrase. My heart was strangely warm. And then he says, in the middle of the meeting, he ran out on the street and he started to shout that, I got it. I got it. You're like, what did you get? Like, I don't know, but I got it. I know what people are talking about now. And from then on, dear people of God, his life was drastically changed. I mean, within his own lifetime, the difference he made, and after all these hundreds of years, there are millions of people, billions of people around the world are in some ways being helped by John Wesley. In other words, dear people of God, it's almost like you are in a relationship and you are dragging that relationship and like nothing seems to happen. And out of nowhere, like, yeah, I got it. I pray that you be open for this life-changing encounter with Jesus. Amen? Because once you get it, and I get it, I got it, and some of you got it, and some of you lost it, and it will come back to you. It's like ongoing relationship in a family, in a friends. Our job is to be open for the voice of God so we can get it. Let's close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we come before you. Lord, we want to have this life-changing encounter with you. The phrase to be born again, Lord, we are born again, but Lord, we have lost our zeal. We have lost our love toward you. And some of us might have never this experience in their whole life. And Lord, you want to bless people with this amazing experience. Otherwise, this just doing a religious stuff is just dragging. It's painful. It's very difficult to just keep on relationship when you're not in love with somebody. And so, Lord, we want to be in love with you. We want to experience this amazing experience you have for us. Lord, I pray and I bless your people this morning that those who have not this experience, that they would have this experience in their life. Next time I see them, they would like John Wesley, like, I got it, Pastor. I got it, what you're talking about. I got it, what Jesus was talking about. I'm in deeply love with Jesus. I cannot live without Jesus any longer. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.